finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is the word of God.
Father, you've been so very, very kind to us. We really don't deserve it. But we look back last week at the lovely attendances we had at the home Bible studies and the ones here at the church. Lord Jesus, to sit under your word and to grow and mature and become more godly, to become more like Jesus is a great thing. Thank you for looking after us financially as a church in every way. We lift up our hearts in praise to you this morning. We pray to you, Lord, now for that family who've lost their son this morning. I just ask you, Lord, to be with them and help, Lord, those of us who know this family to come alongside them with the love of Jesus. Lord, we are dealing with not small matters. We are dealing with critical things this month of January in the Bible. And I pray that you'd help me to be clear and simple and yet challenging, that each of us, as we go into 2:10, may be strong in our precious Lord. Please help us this morning, Lord, this hot morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, the series that we're dealing in January is very important. It really, really is for you. It's critical for me and all of us as we look to this new year before us with all the enormous challenges that it's going to bring us. What we are dealing with, if you're visiting us today, is the armor of God. And it's important, if you'll bear with me just for a few moments, as I just summarize. We began a series at the beginning of the month by reminding you and I that we're in a war. And it's not easy. The Christian life is not easy. It's not a robe this side of heaven. We are told to put on armor because it's a war. And we focus on our enemy, and we went to his names. He's the devil, he's Satan, he's Beelzebub, he's Belial. He's the god of this world, he's a murderer, and he's a liar. He comes with cunning, with deceit, he comes as an angel of light, and he's got one goal, and that is to take you and me away from Christ and to put us into hell. And he will never stop. He works 24/7. So it's very important for me and for you, precious friends, to put on the armor. We begin by making sure that we've got on the girdle of truth. That girdle, that belt, holds everything together. Without that, we are not going to be able to put it all right. And we saw that that girdle of truth is a wonderful knowledge and a growing apprehension of the Word of God, which is called the Word of Truth. So critical to know that. That is going to hold us all together. And together with that is a life of commitment to Jesus. If we are lukewarm, if we are half-hearted, if you are marked with mediocrity, then I'm afraid, my dear friend, you're in big trouble. It demands of you and I total, total commitment to Jesus. We need the belt. Then we had a look at, we need the breastplate of righteousness, which we went through last Sunday. You see, because Satan comes and he tries to get your heart. If he can hit your heart, he's won the battle. And he will come to you with doubts and cause you to question your salvation. He will throw up to you and to me your past, your failures, the issues that you continue to battle with. So I've got to have a strong armor over my heart, and that's the breastplate of righteousness, which is the imputed righteousness of Jesus, which I get the moment I repent and trust in Jesus Christ. How do I know that's happened to me? I portray that in a holy life. You see, and that's the test. That is the test. If I can't portray godliness and holiness, I'm in big trouble. Because the thing that we level against there is, we can say, can look at my life. And then I need, which we saw last Sunday, something on my feet. I need something that's going to help me to be stable. Because what will Satan do? He'll try and knock me down. He'll try and bring things into my life that will bowl me over. So if I go and fish down at Scottsboro with the shoes I've got on now and get on the rocks, it's a silly illustration, I'm going to slip and I'm going to fall. And that's what happens to people. They lose loved ones. They are told they've got illnesses, they battle at work, they clash in relationships, and what happens is that they get pushed over because they haven't got the gospel of peace. That's the feet that we need that's covered. So I need the girdle of truth. I need the breastplate of righteousness. I need the gospel of peace. Now what you're going to do this morning is the fourth part of our armor. And that is the shield of faith, which Elaine very kindly read to us. This is what it says, if I may, just one more time, remind you. In addition to the breastplate, in addition to the girdle, in addition to the feet, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Just bear with me for 20 seconds. Two Sundays ago, I was invited to our church in Umlazi. And I don't look for it. I hope I don't ever want it. And I certainly don't deserve it. But I was very, very, very moved when the congregation stand and said, we want to give you a shield. It means a lot to me. An enormous amount for looking after the churches when they went through their troubles. They said, Bishop, you were our shield. Put this on your wall. So if you visit my study, it's on the wall. You can't touch it. It's special. Now, you know what, friends? When Shaka became the king of the Zulus, what did he do? The little bit that I've picked up. The first thing that he did, he told his soldiers, take off your shoes. Remember that. And what he made them do was to go to their field where he put thousands and thousands and thousands of thorns. And he made those warriors jump on the thorns. There was just blood everywhere. But what it did over a period of time was that it made their feet strong. You see, their feet became secure. They could run over any terrain. And the next thing he did was, he gave them a shorter shield. And what the shield does, look, I don't know much about it, but from what I can gather, is that instead of having a very long oblong one, if the shield comes and you've got something come to your head, you put up the shield. If it's coming to your feet, you put down the shield. If it's coming to your breastplate, you put up the shield. So the shield is critical. And that is why, end of story. And that is why, brothers and sisters, when you turn to this passage, some of the older translations say this, in addition, or the King James Version says, above all. So yes, put on the belt, put on the breastplate, put on the gospel of peace, but above that, or our translation says, in addition, have the shield. So I want to tell you, friends, this shield is critical for you. And I'm going to explain why. Is that alright so far? That's just the introduction. Okay, let's turn and have a look at three things this morning. Number one, let's ask ourselves then, what is this shield of faith? What is it? What is it? I want to suggest to you, friends, it's three things. The first thing that it is absolute trust. You can put absolute confidence, absolute faith in God as my Father. Let me illustrate that for you. He was the godliest man in the world. That's what the Bible tells us. There was no one like him. He was the wealthiest man in the world. There was no one who had as much as Job had. And slowly and systematically, he was given, Satan, you remember that, was given permission to hurt Job. And God said to Satan, I've got so much confidence in this man, you can do whatever you want to do him, except you cannot take his life. So Satan did just that. He slowly took away his money, his camels, his donkeys, his possessions, everything that he had, he took it away. But because he loved God and trusted God, he came through it well. And then Satan said to God, you know what? The only reason why Job is like this is because you put a little hedge around him. Touch his health and he'll be gone. God said to Satan, you can test that. And he was then tested beyond what you and I would ever have to go through. He was struck with the most horrendous disease. He got these boils all over his body. He used to scrape them every night. He used to stink. He had to get out of the city and live on the rubbish dump. And his wife came to him and said, listen, Job, why don't you curse God now and die? You say you love God. You've got no more possessions. You've got no more health. Our kids have been killed. We have got nothing. And Job said, no. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You see, at that moment in time, friends, Job put up the shield of faith. It may happen. I hope it doesn't. And we pray it doesn't in many ways. But in the days and weeks and months that lie ahead of you, you may lose a child. Or you may go to the doctor and find you've got terminal cancer. Or you may find that you've been retrenched. Or you may find that there are problems with the kids. What do you need? You see, I need to come in a moment like that and I need to put up my shield. And as these arrows come and try and hurt me and break me and cause me to be depressed and discouraged and disheartened, sometimes to give up, I put up my shield and I say, no, I trust my Father. My Father in heaven has promised that all things work together for good to those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. That's the Bible. There are no mistakes. There are no contradictions. Whatever happens is only for my good. It's lovely when you come across a Christian like that. They go through hard knocks. But when you go and visit them in their homes, there's a godliness, a graciousness, a sincerity that shows you they've got the shield. I trust my Father. Maybe even this morning, my dear friend, one of the men very kindly came to me this morning and he said, "Who told you about me?" What we went through was just for him. When the hard knocks come, I need the shield. Absolute trust in God as my Father. Secondly, it's absolute trust in Christ as my Savior. The faith which is intended is that by which we are justified and reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus. Christ is the object, and I receive Him as my Savior and my Lord, and I trust Him. Absolute faith. I've got no confidence in myself, nothing. No confidence in my morality, nothing. No confidence in my religion, nothing. No confidence, nothing. But I trust Jesus. I trust Jesus. And it is absolute trust in the precious Word of God. Absolute confidence in the book. Knowing that this very book, friends, is the Word of God. You and I this morning, I hope we were able to read the Bible in our own quiet times. When you open the Bible this morning now, when we open these pages of Scripture, what do? We read the very Word of God. And so Jesus shows us that, as you all know, when Jesus was tempted, and Satan says to Jesus, "Why don't you just jump? Do something spectacular, that will attract people." It hasn't changed, that's still what he says today. Do something amazing, that'll attract people. Jesus says, "No. Why don't you just fall down and worship me once?" And Jesus says, "No. Why don't you turn the stones into bread?" No. And every time he quoted the Bible, from his favorite book, which was the book of Deuteronomy, "I need the belt. I need the breastplate. I need the right shoes. But I need, in addition, the shield of faith. When the knocks come, I'm not knocked out. When the knocks come, I'm not down. When the knocks come, I don't run. When the knocks come, I put up the shield." Number two, faith acts as a shield. So that lovely verse there says, it will quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. So my precious brothers and sisters, if you've got the shield of faith, first of all, it will protect you. Forgive me for being silly, just for a second. You see, the advantage of a shield is this. I don't just sit there like this. But the advantage of a small maneuverable shield is that whenever the attacks come, I can put up the shield, wherever it comes. So Satan may attack my mind. He wants me to doubt. He wants to put confusion there. I put up the shield. He attacks my mind. Or he may attack my heart and cause me to doubt, and cause me to become depressed, and I put up the shield. Or he may want to shoot me down with my stability, and knock me over. And I put up the shield. You see, the faith will protect all of the Christian soldier. And number two, it receives the blows that are meant for the soldier. So when the enemy shot their bows and arrows, you remember those story in the Roman days. And the arrows would fly through the sky,
aiming for the soldier, put up the shield, and the shield took the blows. The shield took the blows, and the soldier was protected. But you know what, friends? You know what, dear brothers and sisters? This faith must be strong, number three. It's got to be strong. Sorry again. Let's just say you go into your battle with your shield, and it's made of newspaper. You get the Natal Mercury tomorrow morning and wrap it around a piece of wood, and you go into battle. And the enemy throws his dart, and you've got a piece of paper. What's going to happen? It's going to go right through through your paper. It's going to hit your heart. He aims for your head, he aims for your heart, and he aims for your feet. That's how he works. He's been working like this for 10,000 years. He hasn't changed. And you know what? So many people, they say they're Christians, and their faith is so small. And that's why you find the arrows come, and the arrow goes straight through the paper, and hits their heart. Or it goes straight through their little faith, and hits their footing, and they fall. Have you heard somebody say that to you? No. I used to go to church, but I don't go anymore. If God loves me, why did he allow that? Why? How can he allow that to happen to me? Why did he allow that to go into my life? Hugo and I, we were visiting last week and visited one of our members, and his daughter died of cancer. Sure. And here, who am I? You're so inadequate. So my dear brother, put up the shield. Put up the shield. God knows. God's your father. Whatever he does is the best. But your faith has got to be strong. It's got to be strong. And number four, it's got to be well handled. You've got to handle it. If you don't handle it properly, what's going to happen? You're going to be in difficulties. So there's the second thing. Faith is trust. Faith is like a shield. Alright, I'm nearly finished. Right, let's come to the last point and then we're out of here. The third thing you just need to notice then is that faith will act for you and for me as a sure defense. Just listen to it one more time as we just highlight it for you. Put up the shield of faith, listen to it, with which you will extinguish. That's a strong word, isn't it? You will extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. So the first thing is, it quenches the darts. So when Satan comes with doubts or questions or throws up your past or whatever else it may do, your faith will quench those fiery darts from the evil one. Aim for your head, aim for your heart, aim for your feet. Not only that, but notice number two, friends. The Bible calls them fiery. They are fiery because they aim to hurt us. So I've got to make sure I've got strong. My faith must be strong. It's got to be strong. Otherwise the fiery darts are going to hurt me. And where do they come from? Number three. They come from our enemy. They come from Satan. And he throws them there. Unholy, blasphemous, skeptical, ugly, discontentment, disobedient, lust, all these thoughts are going to come thrown against you and I by Satan himself. And what does the Lord Jesus say to you and to me? He says, Christian, put on your belt. Get to know your Bible. And be absolutely committed, Christian. Put on your breastplate of a godly and a holy life in Jesus Christ. Christian, look after your standing so that you've got stability with the gospel of peace. And then above all, get your shield. Get your shield. And when you got the shield, all those fiery darts will be quenched. He won't touch you. But you know what, friends? What does the man or the lady do who's never come to Christ? They haven't got the belt. They haven't got the breastplate. They haven't got the gospel of peace. Tonight we're going to have a look at the helmet of salvation. They haven't got that. They haven't got the shield of faith. And that is why they collapse. They've got nothing. To be out of Christ is to be desperate. If you haven't got Jesus, it's desperate. It's desperate. They may have money, lovely homes, successful business, but that means nothing. If you haven't got the breastplate of righteousness and the gospel of peace and the shield of faith, it's desperate. Oh, I just appeal to you. If you've never come to Christ, I'd love to pray with you. Even this morning, straight after the service. Come and say, Warwick, I don't know. Please help me. I'd love to help you. You can join us tonight. We'd love to have you again. We're going to come to the helmet. Got to look after your head. Well, this is where all is, eh? You're not going to finish the comrades if you haven't got it up here. People tell you that, isn't it, right? It's all up here. It's all in the head. And that's where Satan attacks. So we'll have a look at that. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, perhaps those visiting us, may not be sure if this is part of their lives. If you'd help us to go home, and with all the hard knocks that will come our way, and the fiery darts that come our way, just pray, Lord, that we'll be strong as we put up the shield. Part us, we humbly pray with your blessing. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.